Hello class, this is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. These next two class sessions are going to be a culmination of a lot of the stuff we already talked about in previous classes last semester and this semester. But what I'm doing, I'm picking some key points and some key principles that if you get these principles and these points down on how to build honor, and how to release honor, you will always walk in honor. But before I begin, I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Father, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. Thank you for the apostle over this ministry, Apostle Lyra Thompson Sr., the First Family, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you have entrusted us, Lord God, to help undergird this ministry, Lord God. And we trust in, Lord God, that we serve in honor and with respect, and that it is a privilege. And I thank you as always, Lord God, hallelujah, for each and every student. And I trust, Lord God, that every student is getting everything that they need so that they can walk in the spirit of honor and the spirit of excellence before their men and women of God. And as always, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning and relying completely and totally upon you. Amen. All right. What we're going to talk about today, and we talked about this last semester, but I want to reiterate it and really get it down in you, because I think these are some key points, are the six levels of honor. There were six levels of honor we talked about last semester. And it's so very important that we understand the importance of walking in these six levels of honor. The first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor, we stated, was to sow a seed of honor. Those who have impacted into your life wisdom, blessing, revelation, inspiration, and knowledge, you need to sow a seed of honor. So the first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. Amen. And that's so very important that we understand that. Romans 13:7 says, to render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. So it's very important that we know how to render to all men their dues. And one of the things I stated earlier, I said, we must honor even the more those who are in spiritual ranks, offices and positions, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In the military, men are honored in lieu of their ranks, their position, and their, their accomplishments. Amen. And in spiritual things, it should also, and it is also the same way, and it should be handled even in a greater capacity. Amen. We owe them this respect and honor if we want what's on them, the blessing of God, favor and anointing to be released on us. We must properly honor them. That's so very important. And in 1 Timothy 5:7-18, the Amplified Bible says, let the elders who rule, who perform their duties of their office well, be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully to preach and teach. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it is treading out the grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Amen. So these are just illustrations of how we should honor those who have spiritual rank. Amen. Honor to whom honor is due. Providing for their well-being. Another scripture I want to share is Malachi 1:6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Fear do me, says the Lord of hosts. Ye priests who despise my name, ye say, how and in what way have we despised your name? You know, and then it goes on to say, you know, that in tithes and offering, they were despised. Amen. And they wasn't honored. So it's so very important that we sow honor and to whom honor is due. Let's look at giving honor to whom honor is due. You must understand the importance of giving honor to whom honor is due. You must honor the anointing that's in the land. There's been times when people don't honor the anointing in the land, and the Lord removes that gift from them to another place where the gift could be received with proper honor. There have been ministries that God placed up in a particular area, but the people in that area didn't acknowledge that gift. And because of that, God uprooted that gift and brought it to a place where they could properly be honored. Amen. Okay, it is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. That's something we talked about in the first semester. The word says give honor to whom honor is due, especially meaning here that we must honor a life source. Giving honor to whom honor is due, rendering to all their due respect and honor. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famines. As we know in scripture that says that the curse causeless shall not come. Amen. All life comes from God. And when you blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Anytime a life source is dishonored, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. So it's so very important that we honor a life source. Amen. Okay, now we're going to get into the six levels of honor. The first level of honor that we must adhere to is we must first of all and foremost honor God. Amen. Honor God. The first level of showing honor is honoring God. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. And I like the way this thing is worded. It says, honor the Lord. So in other words, you honor the Lord with your substance, with your increase, with what you have, what the Lord has blessed you with and provided you with. You're giving it back to him at 10%, the tithe and the offering. Amen. Honor and sowing money seeds go hand in hand. Honor and going and sowing money seeds go hand in hand. Amen. If you are not tithing, you are not honoring God. There's no way that your barns and your storehouses can be filled if you show this kind of disrespect and dishonor by not tithing. You must always honor God with your substance, the first fruits of your increase or your labor. God is deserving of all our honor because he is the principal life source. He is life, and life comes from him. When you don't honor God with your tithes and offering, you are cursed with a curse, according to Malachi 3:9. Without God, there would be no life. He is the originator of life and the giver of all life. So it's very important that we, number one, first of all and foremost, honor God. So we honor God with the first fruits of our increase so that our barns, our bank accounts, our checking accounts, our stocks, or wherever we get our livelihood from, those natural sources will continue to bring forth fruit in our lives and keep producing for us. Amen. If you want your life to be flourishing, a flourishing life, you must first honor God with the first fruits of your increase. For in him is life, and the light was the light of men. Amen. All right. Also, too, we want to honor God in our conduct. We need a conduct that's becoming of a Christian. Amen. It is very dangerous for individuals who know better to have inappropriate behavior and relationships, inappropriate conduct and moral failures, especially those that are teaching and preaching the word of God. So we need to live a life above reproach and a life that's an open book. We want to honor our God by living a wholesome, godly life. That's so very important. When we honor God, we need to honor him in the right way morally. Amen. And I'm not going to get, we talked about that quite extensively last semester. The second level of honor is honor the apostle and the prophet, or honor the apostolic gift. Now, with these levels, if we follow these levels, we can't help but begin to walk in honor ourselves. So the first, number one level is to honor God. The second is to honor his apostolic gifts, the apostle and prophets. Matthew 13:57, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor save in his own country and his own house. You must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your region. If there's an apostle or a prophet in your area, it is required by God that we honor them, because they were put there for a particular reason. Here's the principle. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the great gifts that God has given that country is because they do not show honor to the apostolic and the prophetic gifts that God has blessed them with. That's so very important. Every gift is given in a region to match the need of that region. Apostle Thompson was given to this region, set to in the body of Christ, to set the body of Christ free from financial bondage. Amen. When you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift, that financial prosperity anointing will come upon your life. As honoring the apostolic, honoring God. Amen. So that's the number, the second area, the second level of walking in honor. If people in the region don't receive and honor the gift that God has sent them, they will not receive the blessings that's on the man of God's life that he was sent to release. Amen. If you dishonor in your own country, in your own house or church, the apostolic and prophetic gift, you are in fact actually dishonoring God, because you're dishonoring God's representative, God's ambassador. Amen. Because he is God's ambassador representing God's kingdom. Amen. If a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. The curse causes, as we stated earlier, shall not come. And that's coming from Proverbs 26:2, the B part. Amen. All right. I don't want to labor on that too long. Listen up. The apostolic and prophetic in an area has a lot to do with the spiritual condition, the spiritual climate, and the spiritual atmosphere in that region. They have a ruling governmental territorial anointing upon them, ruling and reigning over the airways. So, you know, God has put them there to liberate the people in that area, in that region. And so it's so very important that we recognize that and that we honor that. A good example of that is in 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm going to read it. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Topeka. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know, or believe his apostles, you know. So here is a direct illustration of how God wants to bless those that honor him and honor his apostolic gifts. Amen. All right. Let me move on. Okay, honor is not just having a bunch of armor bearers, you know, or having somebody always wash your car, or just, you know, doing things for the apostolic. Honor, listen up, and we talked about this before. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released by the gift God has sent. I'm going to repeat that. Honor is reciprocation, means you're reciprocating. He's giving out and you're giving out, okay? It's reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released by the gift God has sent. The greatest form of dishonor is when people hear the word preached to them day after day, year after year by their apostolic gift, but they don't act on the word that has been preached to them. That's one of the greatest forms of dishonor, by not acting on what has been released and what God has blessed you with. So it's so very important that you, you know, receive the gift, but also release that gift by applying the principles and the concepts that's been spoken out of his mouth, and let that now begin to manifest in your life. Amen. You know, because that's what a man of God's desire is that God's government, God's kingdom is established. You know, God, what God desires. He's not concerned so much about the people as he is about God's agenda. He wants God's agenda to come forth. And the only way it can come forth is that we now begin to apply the principles and execute what was spoken out of his mouth and release it and receive the blessings from it. Amen. All right, let's move on. The third level of honor is honoring spiritual fathers in the gospel. Okay, honoring spiritual fathers in the gospel. Malachi 1:6 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O ye priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Corporately, it is important that we honor spiritual fathers. We need to know in a region who God has raised up to be fathers, or who has rank in that area. Who are the fathers in that area? You know, we know here in the city of Darrow, in the Gonzales, Baton Rouge area, God has raised up Apostle Thompson to be a beacon of light in this area and to free people from financial bondage so that they can begin to use the resources to funnel money into the gospel. Amen. All right. Deep down in our hearts, we know who the spiritual fathers are in different cities. We know from experience who the fathers are in a city, and we need to honor those fathers. Even if, listen up, even if the father has fallen from grace, even if there's been inappropriate behavior, we still need to honor and cover them so that they don't fall, so that we don't fall into the same traps that they did. That's so very important. You know, I'll never forget, and I've shared this before, there was a spiritual leader years ago who had fallen, and I remember Apostle Thompson telling us very specifically, don't put your mouth on him. As many people as he's led to the Lord and as many things that he's done to advance the kingdom of God, don't, because the media is coming against him, don't you put your mouth on him. And there's been several times I've seen him at restaurants, him and his family eating. I either would buy his meal for the table, or if I had, you know, something in my pocket, I would sow it into his life, you know. And I've learned that principle from by watching Apostle and seeing him do it. One of the things I thank God for, a man of God, is that they set an example for you. You know, if when you watch closely, a lot of things can be taught, but a lot of things really need to be caught. You got, you know, and then when you catch it with your spirit. And you say, I got that. I see the benefit, and I'm going to apply it in my life. You know, those things, you catch it, you know, because some people see it, but they don't catch it. They don't internalize it. I remember the time Apostle sold $20,000 for the first time in the Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And I was at the meeting, at camp meeting, on a Tuesday, it was Raymond Day. And I was so excited that my church, which was at that time maybe 300-400 members, was sold a substantial amount into Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I purposed in my heart that one day I'll be able to sow that amount and more into my man of God and his ministry. And that day has come, you know, and the amount continued to increase, you know. But I saw it and I learned it, I caught it, and it's producing big dividends in my life. Amen. All right. Let's go on to the fourth level of showing honor. The fourth level of showing honor is honoring your parents, your natural parents, you know, spiritual parents also, but your natural parents, if your natural parents are still alive. The Bible talks about this in Exodus 20 and 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So when you honor your father and your mother in the days that your days may be prolonged, be long upon the earth or the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6 and 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, first commandment with promise. So that means there's promises behind it. There's promises of long life, promises of health and wealth and peace. You know, honoring your physical parents. Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, honor thy father and thy mother as thy Lord thy God had commanded thee. So it's a commandment to honor your parents, that the days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee, you know, health-wise, mentally, physically, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, we must honor our physical fathers and mothers, our parental and maternal parents. We should honor them highly. And I could pause right there because I watched my physical dad honor his mother. They were raised on a farm. They raised most of the stuff that they ate. Didn't go into town much. They lived off the land. But my mom, my grandmother, showed my parents, my father, love and respect, and my dad reciprocated that. And when he got able to do things for her, you know, I remember when we were kids, she had an outhouse. She didn't have an indoor bathroom. He and his brothers got together, and he bought all of the fixtures for the bathroom. My uncle was a good carpenter, so he built a bathroom on the side of the house, you know, attached to it. My dad supplied the toilet, the sink, and the bathtub. So she did not have to go outside anymore, you know, and use the outside facilities. You know, I remember when they elevated her from a wood-burning stove to a gas stove. You know, that was, you know, another big, you know, milestone, just honoring her, you know, doing things for her that she couldn't do for herself, you know, just time and time again, bringing her to see her sisters who lived in another state. Yeah, I remember he would come. We would come and pick her up, and said, "My dad, we're gonna take you to Texas to see your sister so and so." And she was excited, you know. And I had a chance to see some of my relatives. But that's just showing honor. And I saw my dad do it time and time and time and time and time again until I caught it. And I'll never forget. My dad was pretty much self-sufficient, and he wasn't wanting for anything, but he always wanted to go back to California where he was in the military, at where he served in the Marine Corps at for almost 10 years. And he was up in age where he didn't care for flying, and I knew he wasn't going to drive. And so he would always talk about, you know, I really enjoyed California, the mountains and, you know, the ocean. And just, he said, I became a man when I joined the military. I said, I would like to go back someday, but I don't know if I ever get a chance to go back. And I'm saying to myself, yes, you will. So I got with my wife, and I said, we're going to rent a van, and we're going to take, you know, my two kids and my mom and dad to California. And I told Daddy, and he said, fine. He said, what I need to do, all you need to do is just pack your clothes. And we told him when we were going to come and pick him up. We picked him up. And when he set foot back on Camp Pendleton, the military base, you could see his face just lit up. You could see, you know, something that he wanted to see again be fulfilled. And he talked about that up until the day he died, how he enjoyed that trip. He enjoyed going to visit his, he had a brother who stayed in Sacramento. So we went to Sacramento. He saw his brother and some other relatives. And we stayed not in hotels, but in resorts. You know, where my mom and dad had a room and a bathroom. We had our room and bathroom, and there was plenty of room. And he was really, you know, impressed that, you know, we weren't all locked up in a you know, a one-bedroom hotel. You know, he said, well, you can stretch out and move around and had a lot of freedom. But that's honoring your parents. With my mom in her latter years, as she began to, you know, certain, you know, attacks began to, you know, latch hold onto her body and her memory wasn't as good. I would take her back to some of her early days when we one of the first houses that we rented, you know, even though, you know, towards the end they bought a home and paid for it. But I would take her back to Bro Bridge and take her back to the old school that she first taught at. And she would remember things from years gone by. And she remembered, you know, this particular building and that building. And she said, oh yeah, that's my old classroom. I remember that, you know. And it brought joy. And I said, you know, God has brought you from a long way. And she said, yeah, he sure has. Son, I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to drive me out here and drive me there. And even when we would take vacations to Florida, one of my mom and dad's old military buddies and his wife, they stayed close to. Even though my dad had been deceased, I would take my mom to see them in Orlando. And she would stay with them. We would stay at a resort, but she thoroughly enjoyed herself, you know, because it brought memories back to a younger year and a younger time when they were growing up, you know, as, you know, in their early 20s and 30s. But that's honoring your parents. And even as she got older, I would even stay at the house with her, you know, weeks and months on end, you know, being there with her, providing for her every needs. You know, she didn't have to worry about groceries, bill paying or nothing. All that I provided and I took care of. I was there the day she went home to be with the Lord. And I'll never forget the day before she left the earth. I was trying to feed her. They gave me a little syringe to actually feed liquid food into her. And when I went to feed her, she put her hands over her mouth and she shook her head and said, I said, Mom, you don't want to eat anymore. She said, no. I said, Mom, are you ready to go? She said, yes, I am. I said, look, I've been selfish. I've been trying to keep you here, you know, but if you're ready to go home, whenever you get ready, you just check out. I said, I'm not going to feed you anymore. You know, if you need something, let me know, but I'm releasing you. I'm not going to try to force you to stay here on the earth when you know God has a mansion prepared for you in heaven. I said that, I'm not going to say on a Tuesday or whatever, that afternoon, by that Wednesday morning, she had checked out, you know, so it blessed me, you know, but it's honoring your parents. I could stay on that for a while, but it's a blessing. Amen. Sons and daughters need to start showing honor to their fathers. Even if their dad was a scoundrel or a Jody, they need to sow seeds of honor so they can break any generational curses or cycles that, you know, their dad might have started for not living wholesomely, you know. If you continue to allow the cycle to perpetuate out, our days cannot be prolonged. Our money cannot be prolonged. Our business cannot be prolonged. Our ministries cannot be prolonged. But when you begin to sow honor, we break these debt cycles and generational curses. Amen? All right. So much for honoring our parents. We're going to go on to the fifth, which is the fifth level of honor is honoring the elderly, honoring our seniors in society. Leviticus 19:32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary-headed or the white-headed man and honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord, for I am the Lord. So it says that, you know, we are to rise up, stand up, and honor the hoary-headed or the white-headed man, the elderly, and honor the face of the old man and fear thy Lord, for I am the Lord. The Message Bible says, show respect to the aged, honor their presence of the elderly, fear the Lord, for I am the Lord. Amen. So we must honor our seniors or our elders. Amen. I've watched my grandmother honor those who were older than her as a little small kid. And she would not let me disrespect an elderly person. Even if I was just joking, you know, but she would not let me do it. I remember one time I was sitting on the porch with her and she spoke to a lady, says, hey baby, how you doing? And then I just kind of mocked her, says, hey baby, how you doing? She reached back and gave me a backhand. She said, no, that's Miss So-and-so. You need to honor, you need to respect her because she's older than you. I never forgot that. And I never did it from that day on, you know, but that was something I caught and I learned to respect. I remember my grandfather, one of his friends, my grandfather had went on home to be with the Lord, but one of his friends who stayed down the street that he used to go by and visit, I'd be riding my bike in front of the house. If I saw him sitting on the front porch, I'd stop and sit down and talk to him and just have a conversation with him. And he was just so delighted. He says, I'm so glad you take the time to come out and speak to me and talk to me, you know. But it's giving honor to whom honor is due. Amen. Honoring our elderly. You must honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord. So when somebody comes in a room that has white hair or is a senior, you show honor when you stand up for them and acknowledge their presence. In principle, you are honoring their years of experience, their years of life experience. You are honoring their life experience. If they've gone through all those years with the battles and the struggles that life presents to an individual, when they walk in a room and you stand up and acknowledge them, you are honoring their survival skills, their ability to impart knowledge to you. When you stand up and honor the seniors in this regard, you are literally saying, God, we honor you for bringing this person through all those challenges and experiences, showing this kind of honor for the battles that they fought and successes in God to give you the grace that's upon them so you can go through these battles in your future life. You know, anytime you dishonor a senior, a citizen, and you experience tremendous disrespect for the struggles and the battles that they have gone through and the grace that had to go through with these experiences, that grace cannot come upon you. What was a success for them becomes a defeat for you, a crisis because you sowed the seed of dishonor. Amen. You know, there was a situation with Elijah where some young kids disrespected him, and they were devoured by, I don't know, was it a bear? I can't remember what it was. It was some animal, you know, because they said, so you old gray-headed man, blah, 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 and they disrespected him, and they got the results of their disrespect. Amen. All right, let's move on. The sixth level of honor, honoring the gift and the anointing in you. Honoring the gift and the anointing in you. Think about that. The Bible says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? And then it goes on to say, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You know, and when you look up that verse of scripture where it says a little lower than the angels, I'm quoting from Psalms 8, it's actually saying God has made man just a shade lower than himself. It says here in Proverbs 8, 4 and 6, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, of the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That, you mean, that's powerful. Let me read the Amplified version. What is man that you are so mindful of him, and the son of the earthborn man that you are, yet you care for him? Yet you've made him but a little lower than God's or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. Amen. All right. In other words, you put the God factor in man. You know, in each and every one of us, there's a God factor because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. You know, so you have God, then you have man right beneath God because he's made us in the very image and the likeness of him. Amen. Then God crowned man with glory and honor. If you don't respect and honor the God has placed on you, then you are disrespecting the gift of life that God has given you. How can I put this and try to put it in everyday terminology? It's so very important that we honor the anointing that God has placed upon our lives, the abilities, the talents that God has given us. That's, the Bible says, you know, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning. You don't want to disrespect what God has blessed you with. You want to give it back to Him. You want to give Him glory by not showing off, but by revealing His glory through you to other people. Amen. And when you don't do that, you're disrespecting God's temple. You're disrespecting who you are, and you're dishonoring yourself. Proverbs 49, 11, 12, and 20 says, their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man being, listen up, nevertheless, man being in honor abided not. He is like the beast of the beast that perisheth. Man that is honored and understanding not is like the beast that perisheth. So if God has honored you and you don't understand it, He said, nevertheless, being honored and abided not. In other words, you're not abiding in the honor. You're not walking in the honor that God has placed upon your life. You're like the beast that perisheth, you know. Man that is honored and understanding not is like the beast that perisheth. A person who has been anointed with God, anointed and honored, and doesn't understand that he's crowned with honor, that man functions with beastly instincts, because he's just like the beast of the field, you know, fleshly, earthly driven, you know, functions as though he doesn't even have a spirit, you know, or his spirit is deadened because he doesn't know God. The reason we have so many gangs and drug problems and sexual misconduct problems, like prostitution and pornography, is because people around the world don't understand the gift of honor they have been crowned with. You need to respect yourself better than that. You know, you need to respect yourself better than that. You're not a prostitute. You don't have to sell drugs. You know, do the honorable thing. You know, walk in honor. You know, when human beings don't understand the honor that they have been crowned with, they just become like the beast in the jungle, appetite driven or fleshly driven, not spirit led. They become scavengers, predators, carnivorous, flesh driven. And that's something that should not be. We need to honor the anointing that's on the inside of us by accepting the call of God on our lives, by walking upright and wholesome in this society, by being examples to our children and our grandchildren, and showing them how to respect and honor other people. If it wasn't for, like I said, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather, and people who walked in honor, showing me how to walk in honor, I use them as an example, and God has honored me. You know, I share this because my dad's friend who's in the military, and I would take my mom to visit her. He would honor us and let us stay in his house, and let us, he had a beautiful home, beautiful Floridian-style home, million-dollar-plus home. I told him, I said, you know, one day I would like to own something like this, you know, but He said, Greg, he says, ever since I've known your dad's been a man of respect and honor, you know, and we've respected him. And even after he's gone, you bring your mom by to see us when, you know, we enjoy spending time with her. And it says, you remind me so much of your dad. And the last time I was there back in the spring, I was able to show him pictures of my house that I built. And it was, you know, and it was because of me honoring him and him imparting things into me, even though he wasn't a physical father, but he was an elder to me, you know. So the same blessings that he walked in, God has enabled me and my wife to walk in because of respect and honor. You know, so honor crosses all facets of life and everything that you do. You know, you can't neglect not walking in honor. But dishonor will bring the curse on you. And actually, you bring the curse upon yourself. So walk in these six levels of honor, and you can't help but be honored. Amen.